Praise the Lord, everybody. Y'all still greeting each other? That's better. Amen. How many of y'all ready for the word? Like three of y'all. Y'all, I love that this church loves each other so much. Let's try that again. How many of y'all ready for the word? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 20. We're still experimenting a little bit with the lighting situation, so hopefully if you can't see, the words will appear on your screen. But Acts chapter 9, verse 20 through 25. Acts chapter 9, verse 20 through 25. Oh, no, 20 through 22, my bad. My bad. We are in a series called The Journey of Faith, and it's been fun on this journey, isn't it? We talked a little bit about the fact that there are so many things that we could talk about how to grow and increase your faith. We could talk about worship. We could talk about prayer. We could talk about spending time in the word. But the Lord wanted me to particularly discuss with you guys and talk to you guys about what does it look like on your faith journey here in Rohi Christian Church. In particular, we wanted to focus on four particular areas. We talked about having a real encounter with God and why real encounters matter. We talked about how change happens in community through small groups last week. And then we're talking this week about now serving in the church and then finally going and telling someone else about Jesus. Those are the four steps. If we were to define and to display and say, what would we say at Rohi Christian Church would make someone a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's that they've had a real encounter with him. They've put their faith in him. They're involved in small groups being changed in community. They're now serving in the local church, and they're going and telling somebody else about Jesus. If you want to know if you're a disciple, then you can look at those four steps. Somebody say amen. It's also our vision for the church. How are we going to change and reach the community? We are going to do real encounters, change through small groups, now through serving in our church and going and telling somebody about Jesus. So what's our vision? What's our mission? Y'all don't sound too convinced. Let's try that again. Real, change, now, go. So what is our vision? What's our mission? What's our process for making disciples? So if somebody said, what's your church about? Tell them real change, now go. We want to see a real change happen in this community for Jesus Christ, and we want to go and tell everybody else so that they can experience a real change. Somebody say amen. All right, so this week we're going to be talking about the now. We're going to be talking about saved to serve. Somebody say, I've been saved to serve. Oh, y'all don't sound like y'all like that. Most of us want to say, I've been saved so that I can have a better life. I've been saved so I can sit at home and watch TV and eat bonbons. I've been saved so I can come and be comfortable. But unfortunately, you were not saved so that you can feel better. You were saved so that you can serve, so that we can increase the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. All right, so we've been looking at, amen, you can give God a praise for that. That was weak, but I'm glad it wasn't for me. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. We've been studying the life of Saul, in particular, Saul's transformation. We looked in the first week how Saul had a real encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Saul was persecuting Christians, and he met this bright light and this person of Jesus Christ. He completely changed everything. He decided, he went to Damascus, he sat there for 3 days. Ananias came, and he had another real encounter where he began to have, Ananias laid his hands on him, and then all of a sudden, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized, his sight came back, and he was a changed man. Somebody say thank you, God, for real encounters. And we discussed in week one the power of real encounters. We want every time people come to this church, whether it be for small groups, whether it be for Sunday mornings, but every time they come, we want them to have a real encounter with Jesus Christ. Our job is to create an atmosphere for people to have real encounters. Somebody say yes. Because I don't know about you, but we have said the world is hungry for real encounters. The world is hungry for encounters with Jesus. And Bill Johnson says, we owe the world's encounters with Jesus. That's our responsibility as believers. And then last week, we talked about the context of change. And we realized that Saul, right after he got saved, spent time in fellowship with the disciples at Damascus. Saul didn't just get saved and go off by himself and say, see you later, bye. No, Saul got together in community, and we talked about the power of community to create transformation and change in our life. In particular, when you're going through difficult situations, how community can help you and build you up and strengthen you. How we see the real love of Jesus Christ through community. Right? When people love us, we can say, man, that's how Jesus, when people love us when we messed up, when people loved us when we just cussed somebody out, when people love us and forgive us when we've done something wrong, that's when we really can see the love of Jesus Christ happening. And so today we're going to be talking about being saved to serve, and we're going to look at how Saul began to serve. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Would you do me a favor? Let's just read these three verses together. Immediately. Wait, stop. Somebody say immediately. Come on, say it like you mean it. Immediately. All right, let's read the rest. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Father, thank you for this message today. I pray that you would move miraculously through me. I pray that you would speak to each and every person here. Holy Spirit, have your ways and begin to show us, Father God, our purpose through serving in the local church for you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Somebody read the first word again of that opening passage, Acts chapter 9, verse 20. What's that word? Immediately. Saul gets saved. Saul starts fellowshipping with the disciples, and Saul immediately starts preaching in the church. Saul didn't wait and say, I need to get my life together before I serve. Saul didn't say, wait, I need to fix a few things. I got some hangups with my family. My mom's not doing too good. I can't do it. He didn't say, you know what? I don't have time to serve. He didn't say, it's just too much for me right now. Saul didn't even say, I'm scared to serve. You know what the Bible says? He got saved. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got baptized. He starts spending time with the disciples. This all happens in a 3-day period. And then he goes immediately and starts preaching in the church. He goes right away and starts serving in the church. Paul was in a culture where he said, I love Jesus so much that I got to start right now serving him. I can't wait. And as a matter of fact, we can see Saul's transformation because he served. If Saul would have just got changed, if Saul would have been filled, if Saul would have got his eyesight restored, if Saul would have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and Saul said, this was amazing, and went away, nobody would know that any change happened. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, if he's sitting at home behind closed doors doing nothing, how are the people who saw his life before seeing anything different in him? They don't see anything different. Matter of fact, the people he was trying to kill were the folks in the synagogue sometimes who were professing Jesus Christ. So he was able to go now to the synagogue, the church, the very place where people could see a massive transformation in his life and say, I'm going to stand up right now and I'm going to serve right where I'm at. Saul didn't say, I got to fix stuff, I got to work stuff. He said, that's it. Right now, what motivated him? You know what motivated Saul? Jesus changed me. And because he changed me, I have to serve. Saul said, I got saved, now I got to serve. That's it. Saul had no other excuse, no other reasoning, just I got saved, now I have to serve. I had a real encounter with Jesus. I've been walking in community with these people for a few days, and I realized that this church, we got to tell people, I got to do something. I have to do something. He says, now, right now, I have to begin without hesitation to serve Jesus. Today, I want to talk to you about save to serve. Why is serving such an important part of our journey of faith? The reason is that if God saved you from your sin, he has also called you to serve him. If he saved you from your sin, he also called you to serve him. He called you to use your gifts and your abilities in some way. Have you ever given somebody a gift and they didn't use it? My children are funny because my brother, he's blessed, and it's hard to pick stuff for him because he has a lot of stuff. And so my kids last Christmas decided they're going to give him that little Alexa thing. You know, that little thing where you call Alexa, make my food. Alexa, do this. Alexa, order my groceries. Alexa. They were like, that'll help Uncle a lot. So my children, who are junior hires at the time, they pulled their little money together and bought the little $50 product. That's a lot for 7th and 8th graders. It's 6th and 8th graders, right? Pulled their money together and bought this gift for my brother. We go to visit my brother in about April and stay in his house, and we see little Alexa sitting in a box, unopened, on the countertop. And the boys get mad. They were like, wait, that's my $50 up there. I bought him something and he didn't use it? It's still, you can't even lie and say you tried to use it because it's still wrapped up just like it was when I gave it to you. And they got mad. And can you not understand and feel their frustration? Because I gave you something, I worked hard to give it to you, and it's sitting there unused. I want to tell you that Father God has worked hard through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give you the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that you have. And when we don't use our gift, talents, and abilities, they sit on a shelf and they go unused. And it makes Father God sad, just like it made my children upset, that you're not using the stuff that God gave you. He didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. And so today I want to give you four benefits of why serving now in the church is so important. Number one, serving increases our faith. Serving increases our faith. We grow in our faith as we exercise our gifts while serving in the church. When we serve, we get a front row seat to see God work in the lives of other people. This is good. You get up close and personal to see a miracle and a move of God when you serve. Everybody wants to see miracles. Just start serving, you'll see them. Y'all don't believe me? Take a look at John chapter 2, verse 1. Because when we begin to see God work in other people's lives, we begin to get excited and it encourages our faith, right? So God is like, serve so you can see more stuff happening in the church. Okay, watch this. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, somebody said, they ain't had no wine. Y'all ought to just be like, dang, you ain't got no wine? I will leave that there. They ran out of wine. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. You know what Jesus said? He said, woman, what that got to do with me? They ain't got no wine. I don't really care. They don't have any wine. My hour, my time for manifesting miracles has not yet come. And you know what his mother says? I don't care what you're saying. He says, because look, if these people don't have wine, they're going to get embarrassed. We don't want our friends and family to be embarrassed because they ran out of wine at a wedding. So she said, look, she tells the servants, somebody say servants. She tells the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stones, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, go fill the water pots with water. So they took these big water pots, filled them with water. And then he said to them in verse 8, now draw some out, take it to the master. They did it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water, it was made into wine. But he didn't know where it came from. Now, check this out. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master, the guy who was the head of the whole party, had no idea that where this wine had come from. The people who served said, I know exactly where it came from because I got some pots of water. And all of a sudden, the water turned into wine. Now, I don't know how it happened. I just did what Jesus told me to do, and a miracle happened. Now watch this. People on the backside didn't see the miracle, but the people serving saw the miracle. When you serve in the church, you get to go behind the stage so you can start seeing the miracles that happen on a Sunday morning. You show up here on Sunday, you say, man, you know, this is pretty cool. But you have no idea the miracles that happened this week to get us to today. I love Mr. Joe because Mr. Joe's faith has increased because he said, I'm going to serve by just helping out with the facilities. Me and Mr. Joe sit here and we just laugh and hug each other and praise the Lord because we see miracles every time we turn around. We're sitting back and we're like, Lord, we're not sure how we're going to get enough money to start taking these sprinklers down. That's got to be at least a $7,000, $8,000 job. The guys come in, they say, we'll do it for two. We're like, that's a miracle. We saw these walls last week, these walls, there was nothing there on the top. And you're just sitting there, you can look all the way from here to eternity. And you're like, man, this looks rough. We're minding our own business. We don't know how, but we know the Lord's called us to build these walls this week. We walk in, Mr. Joe says, hey, there's some guys doing drywall next door. He says, I'm going to go talk to them. He said, I'm going to see if I can get them a little something on the side, right? He's like, I bet you they can put these walls up for us. I said, Mr. Joe, why don't you go do that? They came over and they said, yeah, we'll do it for about $1,800. Me and Mr. Joe said, high five, miracle, let's go. See, when you're behind the scenes, you can see the miracles of God happen. And when you see the miracles of God happen, it strengthens your faith. There is no greater miracle than worship every Sunday morning in this church. Because if you ever go to rehearsal, you go to rehearsal and you like, I don't know how this is going to work on Sunday. I'm not even talking about Thursday rehearsal. Because Thursday, you say that's supposed to be rough. But then you come on Saturday rehearsal, the day before. And y'all still, you can't find the right key. Can't nobody put the words together. You got to rehearse in another room. You don't even know if the sound going to work. Come on, somebody. Everybody mad at each other. Nobody knows why we all mad at each other. We just mad. People got an attitude. And then we sitting there, we're like, we don't know how worship is going to happen. Then y'all come in and y'all sit down on Sunday morning. Y'all like, man, that team is amazing. The worship team's in the back cracking up. Pah, that was Jesus. Our AV team. Oh my gosh. Y'all see new lights on the stage this week? That was a miracle. Mr. Mark back there cracking up because he's like, I don't know how to work this board, but Jesus. All of a sudden, God just moved. See, when you serve, you get an up close and personal look behind the scenes at the power of God happening in the life of the church. And when that happens, it increases your faith. You start to believe God like never before. Verse 11 of John chapter 2 says that they saw, the servant saw this, and this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. But watch this. And his disciples believed in him. You know why they believed? Because they saw the miracle behind the scenes. And everybody thinks that the miracle is just coming on Sunday morning. The miracle's not coming on Sunday. The miracle is serving Monday through Saturday and even Sunday morning. That's when you really begin to see God. This is the reason why people who serve in the church last a lot longer in their walk with God. In other words, they stay more committed and stay more faithful. It's not because there's some magic that we do. It's that when I get involved, come on somebody, I start to see the power of God. And it increases my faith. It grows me. So the first thing about serving is that serving increases your faith. The second cool thing about serving is serving releases purpose in us. Serving releases purpose in us. I told you God gave everybody a gift. The Holy Spirit has given every believer a gift. That gift is a spiritual gift, whether it be administration or healings, miracles, faith. There's so many gifts. They're listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read about them in Romans. And each of us has these gifts. And a lot of times we say, God, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? We want God to come with a bolt and say, do this. And we won't move till we hear God say, do this. Right? Saul did not hear a bolt. All Saul got was, you're supposed to go to the Gentiles. But he went to the church first. Let me say that again. Saul was like, I'm supposed to go to the Gentiles because that's what Jesus said. That's what Ananias said to him when he had the encounter. But his first ministry was in the church. See, when you start to serve in the church, you begin to see and release your purpose. You get a chance to test it out in the church, and then you can go out into the world and do what God's called you to do. Let me slow down. He decides to serve. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Everybody in here got a good work that you're supposed to do. God's prepared it before the beginning of time. And the only way you're going to release and begin to discover what that is to begin to serve in the church. Watch this. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The purpose of the leaders in the church is to help you, equip you so that you can do the work of ministry. Our job is to train you to serve. Everybody wants us to do all the serving. If we're the only ones seeing the miracle, then it doesn't help you. But if you get involved, you see the miracle, and you begin to see God move through your gifts, now you begin to discover, man, God, I can see how you've made me. I can see what you've called me to do. John Maxwell says this. He says, jump and build things on the way down. A lot of us don't want to take a step in a purpose and to try stuff because we say, I'm not gifted. I'm not qualified. I haven't had the right teaching. I haven't had the right education. I love our worship team because there are people like, I just don't really know how to play well. Jules says, well, come on, just play. We'll work it out. We'll work together and grow. If you can play 4 chords, we'll use you. 3 chords, I can work with you. 2 chords, you just miss the other two and just we'll still make a song out of it. You can hold a beat, we'll let you play the drums. I mean, honestly, how do you get better? A year and a half ago, Jewel and Kelsey, this was all new. Kelsey's an amazing drummer. Jewel's an amazing piano. This was so new to them. But you know what? The more that they played, the more that they served, look, the more excellent they became. You grow. And you begin to discover your purpose. Now, I would assume that when Saul first started preaching in the church, his messages probably were, I mean, they were good, but he probably wasn't a great speaker. Some of us are saying that, well, I'm just not talented. You know what Saul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. He said, I wasn't really a good speaker. He said, or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Why? Because it was brand new to me. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I said, I know Jesus. That's enough. I'm going to serve. I'm going to tell you. Watch this. Verse 3. I was with you in weakness. He said, I was weak. I was in fear. I had much trembling. So I was like, I was a mess. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but all I had was the power of God on my life. And how did I get it? I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's all I had. That's no different than you. You get saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you got that same power on you. You might say, well, I don't know how to teach children. That's all right, just go teach. Jump. You'll grow on the way down. You'll figure it out. Come on, somebody. And what I love about this church is you don't have to be perfect to serve. You are free to make mistakes in this church. As long as you keep an attitude where you can say, you can correct me, I'm all right. Now, if you feel like you got it all together and can't nobody say nothing to you, well, now. But if you come in the humility of the fact that, you know what, I really don't know, and I'm going to make some mistakes. You know what the first thing God told me the night that I just chose after my husband passed away and I decided to, the Lord was speaking to me to pastor this church. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the first thing I wrote in my journal that night after I said yes to God was he said, you are going to make mistakes. And I was like, I'm going to write this down, but shoot. I'm going to get this thing right. I spent 2 years trying to be perfect in pastoring, and I sucked. I was awful. I was hurting people left and right. I was mean. I ain't know no better. But I thank God this church loved me enough. Come on, while I was learning to pastor, y'all loving me. I'm still learning to pastor, and y'all loving me. I made so many mistakes this week. Oh, man. I looked at the calendar now that, because Pastor Jen, she was our administrator and our executive pastor, and now she's teaching at Valley Christian, and we're so excited for her. We believe that was God's call, but we didn't replace her because we were coming here. We was like, we need that money for the building. Watch this. She would tell me if my calendar was off or Pastor Heavy, all the details. I planned a 6-week Bible study lesson. And when I started doing the small group flyers, it took me about 30 minutes before I realized, hold up, We have a 2-week overlap from our 6-week Bible study into our small group that's supposed to be happening that I'm supposed to teach on Wednesday night. So instead of it being 6 weeks of Bible study, I'm going to have to tell these people we can only do it 4 weeks. I made a mistake. And you know what the Lord said? Ha ha, I told you that first night you're going to make some mistakes. Look, it's okay. And you know what the Lord said? It's all right. He understands we're not perfect. We get to serve out of our imperfections. Father God is not looking for perfect people. We aim for average people doing average activities in order to get extraordinary results. Matter of fact, this is how McDonald's works. The people who work at McDonald's are usually teenagers. They are not excellent. Matter of fact, they can't even count half of them. You give them something and their computer system don't work. They got to use their phone to calculate change back to you. Don't nobody know what I'm talking about. You don't want to get mad at the little McDonald's workers, because I know some of y'all worked at McDonald's. God bless you. But the system works. Why? Because McDonald's says we will help those average teenagers and we will employ them and use them so that our services and our products will be great overall. They ain't perfect. How can we see that at McDonald's and not see it at the church? It ain't perfect. In fact, we get to practice in a safe environment in the church. When you volunteer, I'm saying just try it for 2 months. If it's too hard, if you don't like it, if it's not working, them kids giving you a headache, just tell your team leader, this ain't working. I'm gonna need to try to serve somewhere else. It's all right. We're not gonna beat you up. But don't stop serving. Let's find another place. Because what we'll do is them kids get on my nerves. I ain't going back over there no way. And we walk away from the church completely. We walk away from serving. We feel like we disappointed the church. You can't disappoint us. You know why? Because Jesus loves us and he loves you. If you ever feel like you disappointed the church, stop that. Because that's the enemy. Just jump. Let's go. Let's try it. You know what made Peter so amazing was he got out the boat. Can you just get out the boat and try? Well, you know, I never worked with kids before, or I never worked with babies before, but I'll try. Yes, let's go. And you know what? I'm so crazy as a pastor, I will let you. So number one, serving increases our faith. Serving helps us to release our purpose. But then the third thing is, and let me say this about releasing your purpose. When you're serving and you discover what you don't like and what's not comfortable, you're also growing in your purpose because you're discovering what I can't do, what I'm not gifted to do. And that's good. So it works both ways. So here's the third thing. The third thing is serving helps us to focus on Jesus. John Perkins was a minister and a guy who was really strong in racial reconciliation down in Mississippi. And we brought him out here for one of our revivals that we had about 20 years ago. And we did a work in the church in San Jose, the large church, the church at large on racial reconciliation. And John Perkins was talking to us, and he said that in 1998, he lost his son, Spencer, to a heart attack. His son was 43 years old at the time. And it couldn't have come at a worse time for John because he had just had prostate cancer diagnosis and had surgery on his prostate. And it was within a week of that time that his son passed away. And John Perkins began to say that he was full of grief. He was the loss of his son was so heavy and so difficult to bear that he began to see himself slip into a depression. And it was during this time that he started to feel himself falling into this depression, and he was starting to remove himself further and further from people. He said that he felt the Lord call him to serve even more. He said the Lord told him to create a center in honor of his son, Spencer Perkins Center in Mississippi, to help with at-risk youth in the community that they served. And John said this. He says that the way I got out of my depression was I began to serve other people. When you are depressed, when you are feeling bad about yourself, when things are difficult, most times you say, I can't serve. But it's in those moments that if you will serve then, that you can now put your eyes back on Jesus Christ a whole lot easier than if you just stay isolated and do nothing. It's a crazy principle. When we serve God and serve in the church, we take the focus off of ourselves and off of our problems, and we're able to redirect that focus to Jesus. I cannot think of a better way to diminish the significance of my problems than to stop looking at my problems. See, when I'm isolated and I'm depressed, all I'm thinking about is how awful life is, how bad life is, how difficult life is. And the more I think about it, the sadder I get. Come on, somebody. But when I start in the middle of that serving in my church, now my eyes are on the power of God. I'm starting to see God do miracles in church, and I'm sitting there seeing my problems. I'm saying, well, God, if you can bring a drywaller into the church, surely you can take care of my issues at home. Surely you can move in my house. It causes my focus to completely shift and change. I'll say this to you. I lost one of my dear friends yesterday, and people were, you know, I told a couple people about it, and they said, well, how are you doing? And I was like, you know what, I'm okay. And I didn't know if I was okay because, I don't know, because I just go through a lot of stuff. Or then I start praying. The Lord said, you know why you're okay? Because your eyes are so focused on everything that you're doing and serving right now that you don't have time, watch this, to sit up and think about and sulk about and be hurt about what happened with your friend. I said, God, that might be a little bad because maybe I'm redirecting. But God said, no. That is how I get you through it. That's how I help you. And in the church, we want people to be able to grieve. We get it. We understand that you have loss. But I want you to know that if you can serve even in the midst of your loss, something will change and transform in you where you won't be in that depression as long as you would have if you didn't serve. You having trouble in your marriage? Serve in the church. You having trouble financially? Serve in the church. You having trouble with your children? Serve in the church. It causes you to put your eyes back on Jesus Christ. And I want to say for this, don't wait for things in your life to get perfect to serve. Because things in your life will never be perfect. Do it now. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they'll never harvest. Weather never gets perfect. But they say, I'm going to plant and I'm going to do it now and I'll get a harvest later. Your situations are never going to be perfect enough for you to serve. Bottom line. So let's go. Let's do it, and let's do it now. Here's the last thing I want to tell you about serving. If you'll serve, serving grows the kingdom. How many of y'all want to see this church grow? Now, watch this. I believe the Lord has given us a goal to grow this church to double the numbers in 2 years. So we believe that God is going to send 200 people consistently on Sunday mornings between children and adults to this church. That's one of the reasons we moved here. Now, here's what's interesting. You know how you grow your church? We do tell people about Jesus. Yes, that's true. All that is important. I'll talk about that next week. But studies have shown that the number of people who volunteer on Sunday morning, if you take the number of people who are actively volunteering on Sunday morning, multiply it by 4, that's the number of people you'll get showing up to the church. Now, it's very interesting. When I came in this morning, I looked at the number of people serving, and I multiplied by 4, and it's about the number of y'all sitting here. It's some crazy law. It's like the 80-20 rule, but it's really 25-75. I don't really understand it. So if you think about it, when you serve, you're opening the door for 4 other people to come to Jesus. People say, well, why does that happen? You know why? Because when you serve, you get excited. When you see miracles, you get excited, and you tell somebody else about Jesus. And you tell somebody, you ought to see what's happening in my church. Oh, my God, you need to come and see the walls we put in our church. I was here yesterday, and Joey, he's so amazing. Joey was serving. Joey has brought, I don't know, like 10, 20 people to the church to serve before they even come to church on Sunday morning. I walked in. I see some guy on a scaffold. I was like, who is that dude? That's Joey and some. Just, oh, that's my good friend from way back when. Watch this. Because I'm serving, I can get him involved. Watch this. I get him involved, and now I get excited, and more people want to come because they're also involved in the process. And a lot of us are saying, I'm wondering why I'm not so excited to go tell somebody about Jesus. Why is it so hard for me to just be like, I need to tell you about Jesus? You know why? Because you're not excited, because you're not serving. You're not involved. And when you get involved, you get excited, and you want to tell people. And that's how the church grows. Amen? Everybody stand to your feet. Hope that was helpful. So you're like, hey, serve. Well, I don't know where to serve. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you the opportunities you got to serve right now. And you might say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, Pastor. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Jump. Just wherever you sense like, I might want to try that, just go. And as you do, God will show you. He'll reveal his purpose in you. He'll increase your faith. He'll help you focus on Jesus. And the kingdom will grow. So we have multiple. Where's Mr. Joe? Come on up, Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe is our facilities manager. It's completely volunteer. I think Mr. Joe volunteers more hours. Stay down there, Mr. Joe, so they can reach you. You come up here, nobody can reach you and talk to you. Mr. Joe volunteers right now, I would have to say over 40 hours a week here. He's here when I'm not here. He's here before me. He stays after me. He's got a great team. Yonatan's been here. Joey's been here. Jonathan, Mark, Renee. All of our guys are participating so faithfully. If you're saying, you know what, I don't even know anything about construction. Neither did Joe.
Pastor and I were talking this week, and we were talking about just, it started Monday when I had to drive that scissor lift through that front door. I'm sure you probably seen it on Facebook. I think it's gone viral with me up on that thing in the parking lot. But after we got it through, you know, the pastor, we were talking, and I said, it all started with Pastor Alex when we did the small groups of Wild at Heart. Because at the end of that, it said, on faith, you have to step out of your comfort zone and do something you're not comfortable with. And so I said, at the end of that, I said, you know what? I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to finish the book that I'm writing. Then I realized that wasn't out of my comfort zone, because the book I'm writing is right in my wheelhouse of psychology. So I'm not out of my comfort zone. But when this came along, construction, that was way out of my construction. Way, way, way out of my comfort zone. If any of you spoke to my wife, she'll tell you, I don't do anything constructive-wise in my house. I write a good check, and that's it. I don't paint, I don't hang pictures, none of that. So when this opportunity came along, the Holy Spirit said, jump, get your wings on the way down. And through the grace of God and the patience of Joey and Renee, I have learned so much about construction. You know, these guys are great, great carpenters and great general contractors, and they have the patience, like the pastor said. You don't have to know it. You know, I love the fact that they'll show me, like, one thing, and they don't, like, push me out of the way. They say, okay, here's that drill, the hammer drill. Go for it. Do it. So don't be afraid to jump and get your wings on the way down.
Amen. So if you got an idea, you want to volunteer there, there's Mr. Joe. We have Jewel, come on up. Jewel is our worship arts department director and leader. And you might be like, I don't even know how to sing. You know what? Jewel will work with you. She, you know, I don't know how to hold a beat. She'll work with you. Come on up, Jamie. Where is she at? Okay, Jamie is our, this is a new position we have. What's your team again? I forgot what it's called. Follow-up. Thank you. Prayer and follow-up. And so what Jamie is doing is Jamie is starting out helping to make our first-time visitors more comfortable. And so in October, she's going to be starting doing first-time attenders, little get-togethers after service, and it's hospitality. She's also going to be working with our team when people get saved and come up front and give their life to Jesus, as well as moving people from there to membership in the church through a new ministry called Next Steps, which will start in January. And so she is fantastic, needs help. If you like any of that, see her. Let's see. Ms. Donna is our small groups coordinator. Many of you have already, you're getting Ms. Donna with the small groups if you want more information or you want to help serve there. Pastor Jen, come up. Pastor Jen's over our prayer ministry. If you like to pray and you don't know how or what, talk to Pastor Jen. I'm seeing people. Jonathan and Alex, where are they at? They're over what we call our wow ministry. Our wow ministry is what makes you come into church and go, wow. the whole building, the looks, the whole arts of the stage. Jonathan has really gotten into lights and trying to figure out how to use lights to make the team, how to make service more accessible and help you have real encounters. You can see Alex or Jonathan. Miss Tara, who is actually serving with our youth. Any other youth? I don't see any. Beatrice, come up. You're part of our youth. Beatrice and Jessica, come up. They're part of our, come on. They're part of our youth team, infants, toddlers. They're doing work to not only, watch this, not only to make sure that we have enough teachers, because we don't have enough teachers for that department, but these guys are working to decorate and plan what the classrooms will look like. So if you like decorating, have at it, because I told Joe, if I got to pick one more paint color, just one more, I realize that's not my gift. What else? What am I missing, y'all? We have seven teams. I think I got, any other leaders I'm missing? Outreach. Oh, come on up. Come on, Miss Cecilia. And this is Eliana. They're over our outreach ministry. This is how we go out and reach and tell people about Jesus Christ. We have the Isaiah 58 project, but we also are doing large church outreaches. Y'all remember how we used to do things like Jesus in the Park or have big Easter celebrations? Those are coming back this year. As soon as we get this building together, we're going back to those big outreach events, and we need people to help us coordinate those things. Is that it? That's all I got. Oh, greeters. Our greeters are a part of, it's a new name. I forgot what it is. Our greeters are here. Where's Tanya? First impressions team. That, look, come on. Now, that's a good team. Now, Miss Tanya is standing in the gap, but we need people to help make good first impressions on our visitors when they first walk up. From the time they hit the parking lot till the time they hit their seat until the time they go back. It is all about loving people. It's about sharing the love of Christ with them, not just showing them a seat, but getting a chance to love them as they come in, to talk to them, to connect with them. So she's a part of our first impressions team. I think I got them all. Now here's your job. Here's my altar call, and I'm about to pray and dismiss you. But we're going to do the altar call first. Serve now. If you are already serving in a position, we thank you, because so many of you are serving and it means so much to us. If you're serving and you feel a tug that God's calling you to serve more, find one of these people. Talk to them after service. Watch this. If you're not serving, just jump. Let's go. I had a lady on Wednesday night, just out the blue. We didn't even talk about serving. You know what she said? Oh, yes, we did. We talked about serving on Wednesday. You know what she said? She said, I've been felt compelled. God's called me to serve, but I can't. She said, I have to work on Sundays. I can only come on Wednesday nights. She said, but I love connecting with people. What can I do? And immediately one of our other leaders, Cecilia, said, search and rescue. Can you start calling people in our church that aren't here? She said, oh my God, I was made for that. So she didn't have to be here Sunday mornings. If you're physically saying, I'm not able to stand up and greet and do those things, you know what? We have all kinds of stuff people can do. People can pray. We really need help with prayer more than anything. People can come in the office. Look, it's me and Kelsey occasionally when she gets a chance to come from her other job. It's nobody else. Y'all, this is hard. I need some help. You got time during the week? Come see me. I will find work for you. But there's a lot to do. So, if you're here, I'm going to ask before you leave, before you walk out the door, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, right now, move on our hearts. Lord, you didn't save us so we could sit. You saved us to serve. Now, Lord, Holy Spirit, begin to pull us to the right person. Draw a huge, just a big old tug in our hearts right now so that we move where you called us to be. Now, if you feel that tug, just begin to move. Go stand by the person you think you're supposed to talk to. Just this infant and toddlers, they need a lot of help. Just go right now. Come on, start moving. Yep, right now. Move. If you're already serving and you feel like God's calling you to serve in a new place, get up. Move. We're going to let y'all connect, and I'm going to pray. Now, some of y'all didn't move. Sorry. Some of y'all visiting, I get that. The visitors, you ain't supposed to move. But some of y'all, I'm going to keep my eyes closed because I ain't looking at nobody. Lord's calling y'all to move. Okay. May the Lord bless you. What do I want you to do? Serve. When do I want you to serve? Now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. I hear the Lord saying, stop sitting on my gifts and release them in the church. In Jesus' name, when people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Come up and visit with somebody. Check somebody out. See how you can get involved. Give somebody a hug. God bless you.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.